today in your home. Go to Matthew chapter 28, if you would, this morning with me, please. Matthew chapter 28. Again, thank you, ladies, and thank everyone for the work that you've done in the service this morning. And for those that are listening, God bless you all. I do trust that the Lord is using the music, and He'll use His Word today. Use His Word to help us. Matthew chapter 28, while you're finding your place this morning, let me just bring you a little bit up to speed on where we're at in the study that we have been in. Since about March the 15th, we've been in a series that I've titled Crisis in America. We've been in a crisis, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a crisis that has created a worried world. But we learned that it's all a part of the process of what we believe to be living in the last days that we are. And then we considered how that in the middle of this, there are some certain things in an uncertain world. There's some things we can count on in the middle of the crisis of life. We looked at a couple of other thoughts in between that day and then last Sunday as well. But last week we talked about how things sure look dark. Things sure look dark. We talked about how that darkness fell all across the land when the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. When He was crucified, darkness fell all over the land. The world was in crisis because the hope of redemption was dead. The hope of the future was dead. But when we come to this Easter Sunday morning, what I love to call Resurrection Day, I don't want to talk about the darkness anymore. I don't want to talk about how things looked so dark, but I want to talk to you this morning about how I can see the light. I can see the light. Last week it looked mighty dark, but today is a day where light has begun to break through. If you're physically able, wherever you're at, join me and rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's Word in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible here declares to us, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, verse number 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What a great thought. Sat upon it. Verse number 3 goes on to tell us, and verse number 3 says, his countenance, speaking of the angel, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They were scared to death. They fell over. They passed out. Fear of the power of God that was being manifested. Pick it up in verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Things sure looked dark before they got to that tomb this morning, that morning. But I tell you, there came that moment when they could see the light. I want you to know the moment's coming when we're going to see the light as well. Oh, what a wonderful thing to celebrate. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, Holy Father, I plead the blood of Jesus in this time. I understand my inabilities, the inadequacies of my life. I need your help. Lord, I've done all I know to do to prepare for this time. I pray that you would anoint your preacher today. A fresh touch, a fresh anointing. Thank you for the music that we've heard and how it has spoken to our hearts, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. That's why we're here this morning. I pray that you do a good work in all of our hearts in this building and those that are listening via live stream. I pray you'd bless every effort and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Back when we were in Germany, one thing we would do from time to time is we would travel to Italy to see some friends, and Dad would preach over there in some places. But to get to Italy from Germany, you had to go through the German, the Austrian, and the Italian Alps. to be able to get to where you are going. Folks, you've never seen beauty until you've seen the snow-capped Alps of Europe. They're absolutely magnificent. They are majestic. They are these massive mountains that you have to go through to get to Italy, to where we were going. And the highway system that went through them would weave and wind all through some of the most remarkable tunnels that you would ever see. They would go on for miles and miles, seeming as if they would never end. You know, you had light in the tunnel, and you had your headlights that were on, but to the natural eye that was used to having the natural daylight, it was still a very dark thing. And after so long of going around all these curves and winding around all the bends in the tunnel, you'd be looking out the front windshield. You'd be looking for when you'd round one of those curves and you would see the light of day popping through off in the distance. You'd want to see that because you were tired of being in the dark. And the fact of the matter is, if you looked long enough, sure enough, you'd round one of them bends, you'd round one of those corners in one of those tunnels somewhere, and you would look off in the distance and you would see the light of day that was coming through. I don't know about you, but I've lived my life that way sometimes, haven't you? Have you ever just been in a crisis in your life where things just look dark? They just look darker and darker and darker with every day that passed, and it seemed every turn of the road of life that you were going on, you were looking off into the distance, and you were looking, and you were hoping, and you were praying that you'd see the light at the end of the tunnel. You would see the fresh hope that would be upon the horizon for you. Now, while in the crisis of this life, crisis like we're in right now, things sure can look mighty dark. But I want everybody to listen to me. Even though things can look mighty dark in the crisis of our nation, of our world, the crisis that you're battling today, even though things may look mighty dark, and they may keep getting darker and darker and darker, it seems, with every curve and every bend of the road of life that you take, the child of God, the believer, must have a tunnel vision in the middle of that crisis. We must be a people who keeps our eyes on the road that is ahead of us, because I promise you, folk, it's not going to be long before we're going around one of those corners. Not going to be long before we go around one of those bends and we're going to see the light of God off in the distance again. The first few verses of Matthew chapter 28, they present this glorious truth to us in a very fresh way, having to deal with resurrection. When we come to this resurrection, this Easter Sunday that we have, we are all in a crisis. There ain't nobody here that's going to deny or argue with me that we are in a level of a crisis in our world and in our nation today. But just don't ever forget, I can see the light today. And if you've been saved, you can see the light as well. Study three thoughts with me from God's Word, if you would, from this story. Think first of all with me about how there is the commitment of the members. The commitment of the members. I use that word member right here, and I'm speaking, of course, by the membership of the family of God. Those that have been saved, those that have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, the ladies were just singing about, that worthy Lamb, talking about the believer, in this case, the church of the living God. And when we come to our text, I'm talking about those that have gone to the tomb that day, those followers of the Lord Jesus. It's Sunday morning in our text in Matthew 28. It's Sunday morning, and the day is beginning to dawn. It's 3 days following the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary Hill. The followers of Jesus Christ, they were living in those days in the darkest times, in the darkest days of their life. They were literally in a crisis because the man that, oh goodness, they had grown to love so much with all of their heart, he was the heartbeat of their life. He was dead. He was in a tomb and things were looking so, so dark. Verse number 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene and Mary, I believe the other Mary was Mary, the mother of James the Less, likely. They had gone to the sepulcher, the tomb, the graveyard that morning because they had come to pay tribute to their Lord. They had come to honor Him, to worship Him in His death. But I love the way that we see the commitment that they had in the way that they came. The commitment of these followers, the commitment of the members, we see, first of all, there was a particular timing that they had. A particular timing. Look in verse number 1. The Bible tells us in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The sun had risen. on the very first time the sun had risen, the first time on the old, the sun had risen the final time on the final Jewish day of the old Sabbath, which would have been Saturday, by the way. The sun had already come up Saturday that day, and that was the last time that the sun came up on their Sabbath. Sun had come up on the final day of Sabbath, which would have been Saturday, the last day of the week. And from that point on, any God assembly that you see in the Scripture was done on a Sunday morning. That's why we gather on Sunday morning. Our God was dead on Saturday morning or on Saturday night. I struggle sometimes with churches that they've gotten so big that they've moved their worship services even to Saturday night. I don't fully understand that. Not having a Sunday morning service or partial on that. I don't fully understand that. Hey, our Lord was dead on Saturday night. But on Sunday morning, He was alive. And they had come on Sunday morning to the graveside and to the sepulcher. And there's no doubt that these ladies, they had been in the darkest days of their life, these followers of Christ, they came to visit the Lord on that morning, and they came that day with a special burden within their heart, and there's no doubt that they hadn't slept a wink that night before, maybe even for the previous 3 days, because their hearts were so burdened. They were so broken over the fact that their Lord was dead, their Lord was gone. They longed with all their heart to visit Him, to worship Him, and to be with Him even in His death. And I assure you, as that morning hour approach, that they weren't laying around contemplating whether they were going to go or not. Those hours and those moments leading up to that time, they didn't sit around and contemplate whether they were going to get up and go and worship the Lord in that hour. They had already made a decision in their heart and in their mind that they were going to go worship their Lord even in His death. They weren't looking for some type of reason to come up that they wouldn't have to get up and go and worship on that Sunday morning. They weren't looking for that at all. They weren't waiting for a better offer to come up. They weren't waiting to the last minute just to see if something better came up for them to go out and do. They wanted to go see Jesus. They wanted to worship the Lord. They weren't sitting around waiting and maybe taking on that last minute job just to occupy their time, maybe to make a little bit more money, just waiting to see if that better offer came along. No, they wanted to worship their Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, before the rooster was able to crow, they were up, they got dressed, and they went out the door on their way to worship Christ. There was nothing that was going to stand in their way of getting to God on that first Sunday morning of abundant grace that God had given them. They were going to make much of Jesus. They didn't lay around in their pajamas, by the way, if you'll notice this, and wait for Him to come to them. You'll notice in the Scripture that they went to Him. They got up out of their house. They got dressed and they went to the place where Jesus was. There is most certainly a place for this TV and this streaming services that we are having, and we're thankful for it. We're in the middle of a time in our ministries now, our churches, where we have to have that. That's not what they did. They got up and they went straight to Jesus. They went to where He was. There's going to come a time, ladies and gentlemen, when we're all going to come back together. And live stream is only going to be for those who may have an elderly situation or may have a sickness of some sort. But there's going to come a time when we're going to make this the priority of our lives one more time. They got up and they went to Jesus. They went to where He was. You see, it shows the priority of our service to the Lord. Many times if we just seem to take the easy way out and go the virtual church means when we have another option of coming to the house of God, does it not show more about our convenience than it does our commitment to the Lord? It certainly does. We ought to get up and we ought to go to the house of God. We ought to be ready and we ought to come into this place with a burning desire to worship our Lord every time the people of God begin to meet. These followers of Christ, they came in the middle of the crisis of their life. It was the darkest crisis of their life. But when they got there, they saw some light. They saw some hope. And I'm reminded of how every time I get into the presence of God, no matter how dark my day may be, every time I get into God's presence, there's some light that I see. There's some hope that is there. There was a timing that they had. They got up. They went to the house of God, a particular time of the worship of God, should I say, a particular time, but think as well about a precious treasure that they brought. This was commitment that they had. They not only had the timing where they got up early and they went to worship the Lord in His death, but they brought treasure to their Lord. The Mark 16 and verse 1 account of this story tells us that they bought sweet spices to be able to come and anoint the body of Christ. The word bought that is used here, it is telling us says that they went out of their way to go to the market. They went out of their way to go and get something to honor Christ with. When we see those words in Mark 16, the words bought sweet spices. It is not speaking about the bargain hunt brand that they could go out and get. It's not talking about the great value brand. It's not talking about the knockoff brands. No, they went out and they got the best they could possibly get. They went out and they got something expensive. They went out and they got something of great, great value to be able to bring to the Lord, something that was beyond their means, something that was beyond their budget, something that was beyond what they had the ability to be able to bring to Jesus. They not only brought their time and gave their time to God and did it in a particular way, but they brought a treasure, things that they literally did not have to give to God, but they brought it to Him and they said, I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to worship You, Lord. I'm going to give You the best that I've got to give You today. I'm going to give You a treasure. God, help us to be a people who not only come to church, but we give Him the very best that we've got when we get here, not only of our own selves and our worship. Oh, but may God help us to stop being so stingy, to stop being so hung on ourselves and on our own convenience. Stop worrying about all the other stuff we got to pay for. And just give God our very, very best. These ladies weren't stingy. They weren't worried about how they're going to pay the rent next week. They weren't worried about their own convenience. No, they fell supremely in love with Jesus. And when they did, they brought the very best that they could possibly bring to Him. They gave Him His time, their time. And then they gave Him treasures. Even though they were in a crisis of their life, the darkest crisis they had ever been in, they gave Him everything. I realize we're in a crisis. I realize things are odd. Things are weird. Things are just out of order, and we don't know if and when things are ever going to get back to the way that we had always known Him. I realize all of that. Friends, the test of who we really are for God is how real we are with this matter of giving Him our time in the Word of God, in prayer, and in the house of God, whether virtually or when we're able to be back here, and bringing Him the treasures. He's been so good and so merciful to us. He didn't have to give us one thing, but time and time again, He's just been good to us, gracious to us, the commitment of the members. But never forget this. When you get committed to the Lord, He's going to comfort you. There's not only the comfort of the commitment of the members, but there's the comfort of the message. The comfort of the message. These followers, these ladies this morning, this Sunday morning, they were committed to their Lord. They got up early. They didn't sleep in and rush into church. They just didn't sleep in and come be the last one here just to make the statement, just so everybody can see that I'm here. No, they got up early and they went at the appropriate time of this first Sunday morning of brand new, abundant grace. They brought the best treasures that they could possibly bring to them. When they got there, they found something that they were not expecting. When they got there, they found something they had never seen before. Boy, don't you love it when you get into the presence of God? Maybe you just have a time of worship, maybe yourself, or you come to the house of God. Don't you love it when you get in those situations? And boy, it just seems like you experience something that you have never experienced before. Something that you've never seen before. Something that has never happened to you before. You've never seen before. There have been a few times in my life when I just got into the presence of God, many times right here in this place as we've all been gathered, and I've seen God do a work in some old cold heart that said, I hate God, I don't mind, I don't care if I go to hell, but I've seen Him bow the knee in repentance in this place, and I saw God do something I had never seen Him do before in the instance of that. I'm overwhelmed by it. That's how these ladies were. They saw something they had never seen before. And when we look at this, I want you to think, first of all, how there was a removed fear that these ladies had. A removed fear. This commitment led to some comfort. There was some removed fear. There had been times when I've been in my crisis, but when I got in the presence of God, the fear just seemed to run away in my dark crisis. That's what they found. Look at verse number 2 further. The Bible says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The Bible tells us there was an earthquake. These ladies, they were in the middle of their crisis, but they felt the earth that began to shake. There was a great earthquake, And their fear, it only deepened at this point. It was only getting darker and darker at this point because they didn't understand what that earthquake was all about. Their fear was only getting worse and worse and worse. But they didn't realize that earthquake was a sign of some light that was on the horizon for their life. Look at further in verse number 2. The Bible says, "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and he rolled back the stone from the door." By the way, you've heard it before. That angel didn't roll that stone away to let Jesus out, but he rolled that stone away to let people like these followers of Christ, these ladies, in. Rolled the stone away from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. But look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And for fear of him," that is the angel, "the keepers did shake and fell." The keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now these guys are gone now. That's part of their fear. They didn't know if these soldiers, these guards, were going to let them get anywhere near the tomb, but God took care of that. God removed the obstacle to their worship. You understand that? You ever make an effort to get to God? You ever make an effort to become worshiping Him and just really pour your heart into it? Let me assure you, if you make that decision, God will remove the obstacles that are there. The devil will put every obstacle in your path to keep you from the house of God and the things of God. But when you in your heart make that choice that you're going with God and you're going to make a decision to do that, I believe God will overcome the devil and He'll remove those obstacles. That's where part of their fear came from. Verse number 5 says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women," he could tell that they were afraid. He said, "Fear not ye. Fear not ye." See, they were in the dark crisis of their life, something that they had never been in before. Their crisis was getting deeper, and their crisis was getting darker, and they were afraid about the circumstances that they were faced with. Not only were they experiencing the fear of crisis because that tomb that they were headed to, it was the grave of all of their hopes for the future. It had all been sealed up. But now once they got there, there was something fearfully unusual that was going on. Don't say that if you didn't go visit the cemetery and there wasn't an angel sitting on the headstone talking to you, don't say you wouldn't have a little bit of fear, okay? Let's just face it, you would have a little bit of fear at that time. But there was an angel that was there. And the angel had descended, rolled away the stone. God had sent a messenger from heaven to relieve the fear that was in the heart of the child of God. And we look at those words, "Fear not ye." We are given, we look, "Fear not ye." They were giving to him in a supernatural power that was coming from another world. A fear that was relieved that came from God Himself. We can rest assured that at that moment, I tell you, there had to be a calm that came over those ladies. Hey, when a divine being comes down or sent from a divine God, this angel that came down, and when they have a message from a divine God, there's going to be a calm that comes over. And I believe there was a calm that came over these ladies in this moment. They came scared to death in the middle of the darkness of their crisis, but there was a calm that came over them in this moment. I don't know about you, but there have been many a day in my life when I have just been in the dark crisis of my life. Those days that I didn't know how I was going to awaken the next morning and go about the challenges of the day that seemed so dark, seemed so difficult, and only getting worse and worse and worse. And I tell you, I remember those days when it just seemed God sent a message to me. Maybe it was through my prayer time. Maybe it was through my Bible reading. Maybe it's through a message I heard somebody preach. Maybe just an old friend speaking a word of encouragement or season to me, and it seemed that there was a messenger from God that was just sit down and said and spoke to my heart, "Fear not ye," in the middle of the great crisis of my life. I thank God for those days that He has sent those messengers to me and just told me, "Look, son, it's going to be all right. It's dark right now. There is a crisis, but hey, fear ye not. It's going to be all right." We are most certainly in the crisis of America, likely of all of our lifetimes that are listening. There's many that are out there that are scared to death. You are trembling under fear of what you're faced with right now. But the same God that said and breathed those words and sent that message, "Fear ye not," through this angel to these ladies, is the same God that'll speak to you today. Last time I checked, He hadn't changed one little bit. He told us in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in the 8th verse, "Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever." Therefore, 2,000 years ago at the garden tomb, that same God that spoke those words words through the messenger, fear ye not, is the same God who is speaking to you today in your crisis. Drop your anchor upon Him. He will help you. He will encourage you. He removed the fear that day. There was a removed fear, but then they found that there was a risen friend as well. He was their friend. A risen or resurrected friend. In verse number 5, fear not ye, the Bible says, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, folks. He is risen, the Bible tells us. At this point, these ladies had come. And the fact of the matter is, they were expecting the worst. They had no idea what had happened at this point. They didn't know exactly all that they were going to encounter when they got there. They didn't realize that earthquake, though, was the sign that their blessed Lord had been resurrected from the grave. They came expecting a worst case scenario. When they got there, they learned that things weren't nearly as bad as they thought they were. Friends, they're rarely as bad as we really think they are. The crisis of our life, we just think everything's falling apart. We forget the fact God's still in control of this thing. Things aren't nearly as bad as we think they are. Get into the presence of God. Get into a place where the glory of the Lord just falls all over you. And you'll learn things aren't nearly as bad as we in our flesh begin to think that they are. See, the angel knew that Mary and Mary, these followers of that day, he knew that they were in a dark crisis. He knew that they were afraid about what was going on in their life and the crisis that they were dealing with. And as a result of that, he point blank told them that they didn't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to have all that fear anymore. The friend that you've known to come and love has just risen from the grave. And as he has done that, he has broken through all the chains of the prison of death that these Romans and everybody else in the Jewish world had thought they had put him in. You don't got to worry about it anymore. He's not in prison. He's all right. He's broken the chains of it. There is a light that you can look to. 5-year-old little Brian had one of the pivotal roles in the church Easter program. All he had to do, though, was recite the words of verse number 6 that we're studying in chapter 28. All he had to do was say, "He is not here, for he is risen." That's all that he had to do. Unfortunately, little Brian forgot the words. He forgot his line. The director sitting on the front row realized that. And she quickly and quietly reminded him of his lines. And when it dawned on him, he jumped up and he confidently grabbed a hold of the microphone. And he said in a very, very loud way, "He is not here. He is in prison," is what he said. Oh, we laugh at that a little bit, don't we? We chuckle at that. A cute little thing of a church program of a little boy. Sure, we do that. Folks, is that not the exact way that we live our life most of the time? As a child of God, we run around in doom and gloom, moping, woe is me attitude, having this idea, letting everybody know in the world that there's not a reason that we have to be happy. We're acting like our great and our mighty God is in prison in the darkness of our crisis. We are just depressed. We are just discouraged. We are struggling day by day just to be able to stand up, just to be able to keep our head up. We're telling the rest of this world that our God is in prison. But I want you to know today that there was a Sunday morning in a garden tomb out there where he broke the chains of death. He broke out of the prison that the devil, Satan himself, thought that he had put him in. Satan was walking up and down the boardwalks of hell, and he was laughing and he was having the time of his life. But that earth began to shake, and our blessed Lord rose from the grave. He broke the chains of prison that he had. He's not in prison. He is alive. He is well. He's not in any of the chains. A man and his little boy were driving down the road one day, and they drove past a cemetery, and they noticed that there was a large pile of dirt that was piled up right beside a freshly dug grave. The little boy looked over at his daddy, and he said, look, daddy, one got out, one got out. Isn't that exactly how it is, folks? Every time we drive by a cemetery, I can't go to one without thinking about this. Every time we drive by a cemetery, we ought to be reminded, you see, of the only one who ever got away, the only one who ever got out, the only one who was resurrected by the power of God and lives today and will forevermore. I'm able to stand here and rejoice I'm able to stand here and smile today because I have stood in that tomb and I'm telling you that he's not there. I've stood and I've seen the place where he laid, and folks, he is not there. He has risen. These ladies were committed. They got to God. They gave him their time. They gave him their treasure, the very best that they had to offer. They gave him everything that they had in life, but also in his death, they were worshiping him and making much of Christ. They gave him everything. And anytime you're committed that much, God will always bring comfort. There's something else that'll come with that as well. There isn't only the commitment of the member, the comfort of the message, but think about the confirmation of the memory. It's something they never forgot. The confirmation of the memory. Now, if you're anything like me, you need your memory jogged every once in a while. I need my mind jogged. I forget about anything. What's your name? I forget about anything. I need my mind jogged from time to time. Sometimes we're so overcome with fear. We're so overcome with the crisis of our lives that we are faced with. Our memories get a little foggy, do they not? They forget about what God's done in the past. They forget about the promises that he has made for us. Friends, no matter how dark and how deep this crisis may seem that we are in right now, I want you to know that I can see the light at the end of it. And if you've been saved today, you as well can see the light at the end of this crisis that we are in. One of the reasons that we can see the light, one of the reasons that we can rejoice, one of the reasons that we can smile today is because there was a promise honored. There was a promise honored, the scripture tells us. Verse number 6, I like this. He is not here, for he is risen. Look at these last words that I'm about to read to you right now. As he said. Now, wrap your mind around that. He is risen as he said. These little words, as he said, they are obviously pointing us back to some previous words that our Lord had said in the past. And now he's just making good on them. He's just making good on the promise that he made. At this point, Mary, and whomever else may have been there with him that day, at this point, Mary, that scripture records, they're at the outside of the tomb. But notice what the angel says in verse number 6. He says, come. Hey, come on in here. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's talking past tense here. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They got an opportunity to walk into that tomb. Walk into the place and visually see what the angel was verbally saying. Visually see what the angel was verbally saying. I believe when they walked into that place, Brother Daniel, as they walked in and they saw, they knew that was the place where he had been laid. They knew that was the old stone bed that he had been laid upon. They knew that. And as they stood there and they saw that he was not there, surely their minds began wandering back and thinking about every precious word that their Lord had ever said. They were thinking about the time that they had spent with him, all of the different memories they had about the things that Christ had said. They were sitting there searching their mind, racking their brains, if we can say that. And they were thinking to themselves, when did Jesus say this? When was it? I see Mary Magdalene there right now as she's looking at that. Oh, she's certainly rejoicing. She's sees that Jesus isn't there. She knows that he's gone, but I see her right now thinking just as hard as she can think, my goodness, as he said, when did he say this? And then I believe that there was about that moment when all of a sudden Mary's face just lit up. Maybe her hands went up to her cheek just like this. And she said, Mary, I remember Mary. I remember hearing about that day in Galilee when Jesus said with his own word that the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of the sinful man and be crucified and the third day rise again. Oh, Mary, I remember it. It's got to be true what the angel is saying, that Jesus has risen from the dead. I remember hearing about how he said he was going to do it, and we all know God can't lie. We all know God doesn't have the ability to lie. That's never in the character of Jesus. He can't lie to us. Oh, Mary, can you see the celebration that they are having? They're jumping up and down. They're having a big old time because they realize realize for the first time, it's true, the hope of redemption is alive. It's true, there is hope for them. It's true that He is honoring the promises that He has always made. They realize that He was alive. He had honored His promise. He was risen. They went to that tomb that day expecting the very dark, the very worst in the darkness of their crisis of their lives. They sure did. And the few things that they found when they got there that they experienced were totally baffling to their mind. They realized that the power of the light of God had now forced through all of the darkness of Satan and all of this world. Folks, I guess you all know that we're struggling now. And look, we all know that. We are in this crisis. We're in this thing together. But I do want to remind us there is no limitations to the power of God. That same power that was alive then is the same power that is alive today. Rejoice! Every promise that He has ever made is true. That's what these ladies learned that morning. They remembered that day in Galilee where Jesus said, "Yes, I am going to be delivered into the hands of the enemy, the sinful man. I am going to be delivered there. I am going to be crucified, but I will rise again." He's saying, "I honored my promise, and as a result of that, I can have a personal hope. There isn't only a promise to honor, there's a personal hope. I rejoice in this. I've got hope today. There is a reason for me to rejoice. There is a reason for me to smile." We could go word by word, page by page, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book of this wonderful masterpiece of the Bible that we have. And we could find promise after promise that God has made and that God has honored. You see, folks, He made me a promise in Philippians chapter 4. He said, "I'm going to supply all your need according to His riches in glory." And you know what? He always has. He made me a promise over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. He said He's going to be closer to me than any brother. He's going to stick closer than any brother. And you know what? He always has. He's been that kind of friend to me through the years. He's never one time let me down. He promised me over in Psalm chapter 37 that the righteous are not going to ever seek bread. They're never going to be forsaken. There's not one time that I can look back on that He hadn't met that need and He has ever forsaken me. You know what? He's been faithful through the years. He has met every need that I have ever had. I could go on and on and on and on and on about the promises that God has fulfilled. And I find hope in that, but never forget, those are promises past. Those are promises past. But because of how that He has honored His promises past, that means that I've got hope for a promise future. This is not always going to be this way. I have hope that there is a better day that is coming. See, when I think about how God has honored all the promises of the past, and specifically today, how God honored the promise of the resurrection, and how Jesus was raised from the dead, and He honored that promise that He had, I find such hope as well that He is going to honor that same promise of my very own resurrection, you see. As we sit in the darkness of our crisis right now, I want you to know that I can truly see the light of a resurrection clearer and brighter on the horizon than I have ever been able to see before. I see the light, ladies and gentlemen. My mind is immediately taken back to John chapter 14 in the words of our Lord where He said, beginning in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Listen to verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know about you, but I'll say it again. I can see the light, the shape this world is in today, the crisis of the darkness of our world today. I can see this light piercing through clearer and brighter than I ever had before. There is a resurrection day coming. I have hope and I have no doubt at all that it's not going to be long till we're going to be either raptured we're going to be resurrected, and all the darkness, all the crisis, and all the cares of this world, we will never know anymore, and they will be a distant memory in our past. It's not going to be long until that's the case. The Lord Jesus is coming back. That was a brilliant and such an encouraging 15-year-old girl. I mean, she was a bright young girl that found herself suddenly on a bed of suffering. She was completely paralyzed. She was nearly blind. And as she laid on her bed, the family all gathered around. The doctor was around. They realized that she was dying. Hearts were breaking. Tears were flowing. There was difficulty. But as she lay there, the doctor made this statement to the family that was there. She has seen her better days. Poor child, the doctor said. Unable to agree or accept with what the doctor had just said, the little 15-year-old girl mustered up all the strength that she had within her, and she exclaimed loudly with all the power that she had, she said, "No, doctor, my best days are yet to come when I shall see the King in all of His beauty and in all of His glory." Friends, I want you to know that is where our hope lies today. Our hope does not lie in Washington to get us through this crisis. Our hope does not lie in the World Health Organization to get us through this crisis. Our hope does not lie in a stimulus check that is coming one day. Our hope lies in a risen Lord that one day we're going to see face to face. We may be in the crisis of our lives right now, but just cheer up. Because our best days are yet ahead of us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave was just a down payment on the resurrection of the child of God one day. Whether it be by rapture or resurrection from the grave, I can see the light in the middle of the darkness. I don't know how dark your crisis is. I don't know how bad it is in your life. But I want you to know light can be found today. If you're at your home or in this place, would you rise to your feet as Sister Mickey plays a song of invitation? The crisis is real. I'm not making light of that. It's real. We're fighting a battle. It's a struggle. But folks, there's light. The believer today ought to pierce through the darkness of this crisis like never before. There ought to be a joy within us that a lost world can see and can know that there's hope for them, because the hope that we have is just so evident. Maybe you've been saved out there today. Maybe you know heaven would be your home. But your crisis is just so overwhelming. You know, we're going to study this a little further tonight about how crises are just getting worse. Folks, if you're in the darkness of that crisis today, just know, child of God, you can find hope. What about you, lost friend? Do you know that heaven would be your home if you died today? I mean, do you know that you know that you know heaven would be your home? As we've been in the middle of this time in our country, this season in our church, this crisis that we are in, I've had several people reach out to me, say this mess we're in right now is really making me think. Am I really ready, prepared for that moment when Christ comes? I'm not saying He's coming today or tomorrow, but He's coming soon. That I do know. And folks, what we're seeing is a prelude to what's going to happen after Jesus comes. A world in chaos. A world that is scared to death. And it has caused people to think. I just want to tell you today that there is light in your darkness. He loves you and He will save you today. If you just give your whole heart to Him. Because of what we just looked at in Matthew chapter 28, you can be saved because He's alive. I want to ask you that if there is doubt in your mind, I want to ask you right now just to bow your head with me. God's people in this place and all around, I hope you're praying for that lost person that is out there today that just doesn't know Christ. If that's you and you're not sure heaven would be your home, pray with me. Recite this. Say, "Dear God, I come to You in Jesus' name, admitting that I am a sinner, admitting that I need a Savior, understanding that my sin has separated me from God. I am believing that You are my only hope of ever being able to go to heaven one day. And I'm asking You to come into my heart and save me, to take away my sin, to be the Lord of my life, that I may live for You for the rest of the days of my life, glorify You, point others towards You. I'm trusting Your word that You said in Romans 10:13 that if I'll just call, that You'll save. I'm calling on You now, confessing that I gotta have You. Trusting Your promise in Jesus' name." Amen. If that was you today, friend, the Word of God says if you meant it in your heart, you got saved. But you know, He also says that if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I want you to contact us. Send us a note on Facebook. Drop us a letter to the church here, 18 North Steel Street, Lafayette, Georgia, 30728. We'd love to contact you. Show you how you can know more about your newly found spiritual walk. We're thankful that you made that choice. God bless each one of you. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Sister Mickey, thank you so much for the music today. Brother Joel, thank you. Brother Daniel and all these guys back here that helped us, ladies, in the music. Thank you so much for it. We want you to be back tonight in God's house, okay? We're going to have a great time tonight. 6 o'clock is when we're going to start. You be sure and just be here. Those of you that need to be here, be in your spot here, but at 6 o'clock, 10 till, be in front of your computer or your device. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a thought that I think the Lord will help us with. He helped me with it. Who's going to make me? Who's going to make me? You've heard that phrase before, right? Well, God's making us do some things right now. We can study that. We're going to study a great truth from His Word. I thank everybody for being faithful today. I'm going to look forward to seeing everybody back tonight. Miss